You know, every once in a while when I preach on a Wednesday night, I normally find out on Monday. And it's a lot different getting a sermon together when you get off work at 3 and get home at 3. And then when you get off work at, 5, don't get home until 5:30, 6 o'clock, sometimes after 6 o'clock some nights. This week, thank the Lord, it wasn't too bad. But it's definitely a lot more stressful and you feel like you don't have as much time to really to devote to it like you really want to. But I know the Lord's going to help us and He's going to be here tonight to bless. So Matthew chapter number 14, we'll begin reading in verse number 22. It says this, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up unto a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." And I'm going to stop reading right there. And I just want to preach to you tonight about a closer walk. Let's pray together. Lord, we just come to You tonight, God. Lord, we're thanking You, Lord, for everything that You've done in our lives, Lord. And we just ask that You would minister in our hearts, Lord God, that You would anoint me. And Lord, anoint this service, Lord, and help each and every person, Lord, that their minds would be open, Lord, to Your truth, God, that You're trying to speak to them, God, and that You would just help us, Lord, that around these altars, Lord, that we would get something for eternity's sake, Lord. Minister and move in our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in our text tonight, this may not be a typical verse that you would use to talk about wanting a closer walk with Jesus. But we can see in this text that that's exactly what Peter wanted. You know, he was in the midst of a storm. He was in the midst of, you know, a major problem. And because of that, it seemed to compel him to want to have a closer walk with Him, to want to be next to his Lord and Savior. You know, we can look at many different places in the Gospels and throughout the Bible of different people that wanted to have a closer walk with God. You can read about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Even though it took him a while to actually get to having a relationship with the Lord, at that time we can see in John chapter 3 that Nicodemus, he had a desire to have a walk with God. We can read about Thomas in John chapter 20. You know, he doubted and he wondered whether or not Jesus was real. But I believe that God saw his heart, because I don't think that if he was, you know, his attitude was a mockingly, you know, that, well, if I could actually see the Lord and actually put my hands in the prints of His hand, you know, then I'll believe. You know, I don't believe He said that in a mocking way, because I don't believe God answers prayers in that way. So I believe that Thomas had a real desire to know whether the Lord was alive and to know Him in a deeper way. We can read in in chapter 24, we read about two men on the road to Emmaus. And they were talking about, you know, how the Lord had just been crucified. And they were talking and grieved how that the Lord was gone from them. And unbeknownst to them, the Lord came up right next to them. And they loved the Lord so much, not even knowing that it was Him, but just loving the Lord. They wanted Him, that man that they didn't know was the Lord, they wanted Him to stay there with Him, to come into that city with them, to dwell with them. We can read many different times about different people that wanted to have a closer walk with the Lord. But we can also read in the Bible about lots of different people who rejected having a closer walk with the Lord. You can read in John chapter 6, you know, Jesus in that chapter had a lot of hard things to say to some people. He talked about how His body was the bread and His blood was the wine. And part of it, I believe, is maybe people didn't completely understand what the Lord was talking about. But also part of it is people just, they realized what a commitment that they had to make to the Lord, to really follow Him. And so it says in that chapter, at the end of that chapter, that there were many people that went away from Him. We can also read about the rich young ruler, a man that seemed like he was doing everything right in his life except for one thing. It said that the Bible said that he had one thing that he lacked. He needed to sell everything that he had, give it to the poor, and follow him. And when it really came down to actually truly having a closer walk with him, in not just a figurative sense, kind of like what we're talking about tonight, we're not actually walking closer to him in a figurative way, or in a literal way, but he had a chance to do it in a literal way, to walk with the Lord, to be with him, and to have a deeper relationship with him. But when that time came to choose whether or not he wanted to do it, he rejected that opportunity. And every single human being has a desire for something more in their life. You know, you can read different parts of the Bible, you know, where people have a desire for something in their life. And God's plan and God's desire was that that longing and that desire in their life would be filled with him. But a lot of times we end up filling it with other things. We fill it with family. We fill it with hobbies and just things that waste our time instead of filling our lives with the Lord. We also know in John chapter 6, though, that Peter really did have a desire to walk closer to God. Because like I talked about in John 6, all those different people walked away from him, didn't want to have that commitment that the Lord really wanted for them in their life. But it says that Jesus turned back to the 12 after all those other people had walked away. He turned to them and he asked them, "Are you guys going to go away too?" And I think in the mind of the Lord, he was probably thinking, you know, is the commitment that I'm asking from you too hard for you too? But Peter was the one that spoke up and responded in that text. And he was the one that said, he said this, "Where can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." And we know another time when Jesus asked the question, "Whom do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter had a desire to know God for who he really was. You know, just like when Pastor started talking about this, I thought he was going to start preaching my sermon. But no other religion offers what our religion offers. If you look at Islam, they offer, you know, if you can even make it into their version of heaven, the only thing that they offer is just sensual pleasure. You know, men are offered, you know, they can have all the women they want and all the booze they want is basically what they get in the Islamic heaven. There's no relationship with their God. Allah has no desire to come down and know them in a personal way. If you study Mormonism, you know that they believe that if you're a good enough person and you do all these works, then you don't go to heaven, but you actually get to go to another planet. And you get to become a god yourself. And again, there's no relationship with God that's offered through them. In Hinduism, they believe that if you're a good Hindu and you've lived your life in the way that you know that you should, that you get absorbed into this divine consciousness. And really, you stop existing and you just get absorbed into this consciousness that's out there. Again, no relationship is offered in any of these religions. Yet in Christianity, that is exactly what we have to look forward to. In Christianity, we have an opportunity to know God in a personal way and to know Him for eternity. I read this verse a lot, but because it's one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. It's in Revelation 21, verse 1 through 3. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" That is the promise that the Bible offers to each and every person, an eternity with a relationship with a God that wants a relationship back from us. And you know, that's the thing that overwhelms me the most, I think, about this verse, is it almost is God's way of calling us to Him, telling us, you know, "I want that relationship with you. I want you to be there when this happens. I want to be your God and you to be my people so that I can have that relationship with you." And even if people fail to realize what God offers to them or just rejects it, I know that when I get to heaven, it's going to be something that is going to be great and glorious to see. And you know, I think part of the reason that God granted the request for Peter to come down out of the boat into the water was specifically that God was showing not just Peter, and not just the men in that boat, but every single person that ever reads this text in the Bible, that it's okay to want to be close to the Lord. You know, there was no people around that, you know, other than the disciples who had already seen a bunch of miracles to begin with. There was no other people around that could look and say, wow, I'm going to believe in the Lord because look at what He did in this situation. And a lot of times that's what miracles were for. And that's what they're for a lot of times today. But there was no reason really for God to manifest His glory, manifest His power in that way, other than to just show these men that it's okay to want to have a closer walk with Him. And when we do, God will graciously grant that request to us. You know, I read a story in a book by Mark Cahill. I'm sure probably a lot of you have read it. It's a book called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. How many have read that book before at some point? It's a very good book. If you haven't read it, you need to get it and read it. But in that book, he talks about an opportunity that he had at I don't know if it was a youth camp, I don't remember exactly, but he had an opportunity to witness to this boy at this camp that he was at. And he said that he had like a 45-minute conversation with this kid. And he talked about all the different things that he needed to do to be saved and all these different things. And it says after a 45-minute conversation with that kid had admitted that about a month ago he had started using cocaine. Now, the funny thing in this story was that kid was raised in a Christian home, went to church every Sunday, was faithful in his church attendance, and even went to a Christian school. He didn't have to go to public school and be around all the horrible influences that are there. I mean, he knew all the right answers. He knew everything that he had to say to this guy to make sure that, you know, there was no, you know, there was no way that he would think that he wasn't saved. Yet it says in the story that he knew that he wasn't saved. And finally, at the end, you know, the kid asked him, so, you know, is this the part where you're going to tell me that, you know, I have to accept Jesus and all that stuff? And Mark Cahill in the book said that he told the kid, no, I'm not going to tell you that. And the kid was kind of confused and he thought, well, you know, isn't that how you preachers do that when you witness to people like us? You know, you tell us that we need to get saved. You tell us how horrible our sin is and everything. And then you tell us that we need Jesus in our lives. That's how you do it. And this kid had been raised in church for so long, he knew that's what was supposed to happen. But Mark didn't do it. And he told the kid that the reason he didn't need to tell him that is because he loved his sin too much. He could tell from that conversation that kid didn't want to reject everything that he had started doing and follow Christ. And so he told him, I know you're not going to get saved tonight. I know that you're not going to reject your sin and follow Christ tonight. So I'm not even going to tell you about it because you already know all the answers anyway. And the funny thing is, in the story, he said the kid didn't argue with him because the kid knew the truth. The kid knew that he didn't hate his sin enough to reject it and hate his sin enough to follow Christ. You know, a lot of times I think we can be the same way as that kid. And it's not necessarily that we have some horrible sin in our life that we're just clinging to. But it can be just a lot of things in our life that weigh us down and interfere with our relationship with God that we know that we're supposed to have. And so, and because of that, we end up walking away from that opportunity that we have to have a closer walk with God because we'd rather focus on all these other things that we have in our life. You know, the problem isn't that we don't desire it so much as we desire other things. The other things in our life just weigh us down. And when we don't do that, we're telling God that those things, those weights that we have, are more important in our life than a relationship with Him. You know, sometimes I don't think it's necessarily that we're just rejecting Him because we'd rather have other things in our life. But sometimes I think that we want a closer walk with Him, but we look at the obstacle that's in front of us. When Peter was out on the boat, you know, he could have easily just looked at the waves and the water and all that stuff that was blocking for him from getting closer to the Lord. And he could have looked at it and said, Lord, it's impossible for me to have that closer walk with you like I want to. It's impossible for me to get there. I mean, look, there's water between you and me. I'm just going to sink if I jump in there. And a lot of times we don't realize that that's right. It is impossible for us to have a closer walk with God. The Bible says that we cannot come to God unless He comes to us first. But once we get saved, then we have the opportunity to be able to draw closer to Him. The Bible says that when we draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. But it takes a supernatural and miraculous power. God has to be the one to draw us to Him first. You know, and a lot of times the situations in our life, it can look like pretty impossible for us to be able to have a closer walk with God. I know for me, a lot of times, or at least recently, it seems like that, you know, just my time. You know, I'm used to getting up. I get up for work pretty much about the same time, but I don't actually get home from work until about 3 hours after I'm used to getting home from work. So I feel like I don't have any time in the evening to do anything. I feel like I get home, I got to do the things that, you know, I normally have to do every evening, and then go to bed and get up and go to work the next day. I feel like I don't even have the time. And I look at that obstacle and I think, man, it's impossible for me to have a closer walk with God because I don't even have time to hardly pray, it feels like. I don't even feel like I hardly have time to study His Word like I need to. But the obstacle is easily overcome when we realize that God can supernaturally move in any situation that we have and help us to have a closer walk with Him. You know, one of the greatest men that I admire spiritually is a man by the name of Danny Taylor. And a lot of you know him. He's the president of Ozark Bible Institute. And you know, when you're around that man, you just know that he has a closer walk with God than probably a lot of Christians do. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're just talking to him, even if you're just around him in church or hear him preach. You know that guy has a closer walk with God. And you got to think, you know, people that don't know his background and know his story, they got to think, man, this guy's probably been walking with God his whole life, you know, was raised in a Christian home, had everything handed to him on a spiritual silver platter, so to speak. But if you know his story, you realize it's the exact opposite. He wasn't raised in a Christian home. He was raised in an alcoholic's home. And he would probably have told you the day before he got saved, he didn't have any desire to go to church, any desire to know God, any desire for any spiritual things whatsoever. But that night that he got saved, that made all the difference. And ever since then, he's been pursuing that desire. He hasn't been letting that desire grow dim or grow weary in his life. And, you know, he's probably one of the busiest men on the planet, besides Barack Obama and maybe a few other people. But he's probably one of the busiest men in the world. I mean, he pastors a church, so he preaches most of the time 3 times a week. He teaches normally a class at the college every semester. And he's got all the other things that he has to do as the president of a Bible college. He's an extremely busy man. Yet when you look at that man, you realize, man, he's got a relationship with God that most other Christians don't have. And it's not because he, you know, sits at home and says, well, Lord, you know I don't have time to pray tonight. You know I don't have time to read your word. No, he realizes that, yeah, there's some obstacles in his way from getting closer to God. But he realizes that if he pushes through them, he can get closer to God and God will be faithful to follow after and come after him too. Yes, there's going to have to be some sacrifices that are going to have to be made. But the Lord will be faithful to allow you to have that closer walk with him. You know, and there are definitely some benefits to having a closer walk with him. You know, there's a lot of things that are going to change when you have a closer walk with him. You know, one of the things that I realize the closer and closer that I get to God is the harder and harder it would be to backslide away from God. You know, and if you're worried about backsliding, if you're worried about, you know, forsaking your relationship with God, just get closer to Him. The closer you are to God, the harder it's going to be for you to get away from Him. You know, when I worked at the Essen House when I was in high school and college and stuff, when I would work there, you know, I'd work there during the summers and I'd see these old people that would come in that had been married for a really long time. And you could tell they were, you know, probably retired and had an RV or something that they could travel around in and go to all these different tourist traps like the Essen House is and you know, spend all this time together and spend all their money and stuff. And it amazed me, you know, they'd go in there and a lot of times I'd work in the bakery and they'd come in there and, you know, the husband knew exactly probably what the wife was wanting and what she was looking for. And it was the same way with the wife. She knew exactly what the husband would probably want and what he was looking for. You know, and sometimes they would even come in with, you know, matching T-shirts from like Branson, Missouri and different things. And you know, those couples, it probably would have been extremely hard for you to break that relationship apart. You know, I don't think those people that came in there and were like that had any risk of being divorced. Why? Because they had been together for so long. And they were so close to one another. There was no way that you were ever going to tear them apart, except death would be the only thing. And that's exactly the way we should be with the Lord. We should be so close to Him that there's no way that we would ever backslide. Not only that, you're going to start looking a lot more like the Lord. And I'm not talking about in physical appearance. I'm not talking about you're going to be as tall as Him or as wide as Him or anything else like that. But you're going to start taking on some of the characteristics of the Lord. One of the things you're going to do is you're going to look at sin from a different perspective. You know, a while back, this was probably close to a year ago, I went to school with a girl from OBI, you know, and I found out on Facebook probably about a year ago that she had had a baby and she wasn't even married. And, you know, when she was in school, she was one of those girls that, you know, no one would have ever thought that she would backslide. Everyone thought that she was so on fire for God and that she was going to go on and do great things. I mean, she said she was called to be a missionary and wanted to do missions work and different things. But somehow, she got away from God. And she started looking at sin from a different perspective. And that's what happens with us a lot of times. If we're not close to God, we're going to look at sin from a wrong perspective. We're going to look at the things that we want to do and think, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I'm not hurting anyone. And eventually sin is going to take hold in our lives. But if we're close to God, we're going to look at sin from a completely different perspective. We're going to realize how sinful sin is and how much we need to reject it and get as far away from it as we can. Not only that, we're going to see people from a different perspective. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, the Bible says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He came to this earth realizing that each and every person had an eternal soul. And that person one day was going to spend eternity in heaven or spend eternity in hell. And each and every one of those people, He wanted them to spend eternity in heaven. And so He was going to make sure that He did everything that He could to make sure that that person made it to heaven. And I think when we're close to God, we're going to see people from that kind of a perspective too. We're going to look at people and realize that that person is someday going to spend eternity somewhere in heaven or hell. And I, right now, if I'm talking to them, if I'm influencing them in any way, I may be some influence that could either send them to one of those two places. And we're going to make sure that we line up with God's Word in such a way that we're going to compel them to want to be able to make it to heaven someday. We're not going to compel them to want to forsake God, but we're going to want to draw them closer to Him. You know, one other thing that we're going to see something from the different perspective is we're going to look at the Word of God from a different perspective. You know, when I first got saved, someone had given me an NIV Bible, if you want to call it a Bible, an NIV translation. Before I got saved, and I remember, you know, that's supposed to be the easy version to understand. And I got that thing, and I wasn't saved, but I'd try and read it, and I didn't understand what it was talking about. I mean, I didn't understand what was going on in the verses. And to be real honest, I didn't really care to understand that much. I mean, I'd normally just pick it up every once in a while because I was bored and maybe a little bit curious and wanted to see what was in there, but I didn't really have a desire to know the Word of God at that time. But I remember when I got saved, and I first started coming to church here, that was the only Bible I had. So I think first couple services I ever came here, that was the Bible I brought, was that NIV Bible, until finally I got a little Walmart King James Bible, and then a pastor gave me a Life in the Spirit study Bible shortly after that. But when I was unsaved and I would try and read the Word of God, you know, try and read that NIV Bible, I would look at it and I would try and understand it, but nothing spoke to me. Nothing really stood out to me. But when I got saved and started reading this book, things started coming alive to me. And, you know, I enjoy having good shout-down services, and I enjoy times when we come around the altars and pray and seek God's face. But, you know, I honestly think that I would trade having services like that if I could just keep on having times when God would use His Word to speak to me. You know, I remember times in Bible school when I'd be studying verses for, for papers or different things. And it seems like God's Word, you know, I'd be sitting there studying for a paper and God's Word would just leap out at me and speak to me about something. Or I'd be studying for sermons, whether I was in school or even after I got out of school. I'd be studying for sermons and I'd be reading different portions of Scripture and I'd take the time to actually, you know, understand what was being said. And God would speak to me through His Word. And God would show me things in His Word that I didn't understand before. There were verses in the Bible that I had never understood before until God's Holy Spirit spoke to me about them in times of studying His Word. I wouldn't trade that for the world. Those are some of the most precious times that any Christian can have. I realize we need to have times where we come down to the altars and pray. And we need to have times where we get excited in the Lord. But I also realize that there's times when we need to just get our nose in this book. And we need to just study and let God's Spirit speak to us in a way that will illuminate His Word to us and make us realize exactly how we need to serve Him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul realized that the most important thing in our lives is that we have a closer walk with God. And if that isn't the central focus of our lives, then that needs to be changed completely in our life. And Sister Cree, if you can go ahead and come. You know, I've always imagined what it would be like to be one of those people that someday stands before God and has been one of those people that has rejected Him. Think about what it would be like for the rich young ruler. The man that was literally offered an opportunity to literally walk with Christ and be with Him and stand before Him and watch Him minister to all these different people. I mean, he could have been the disciple that replaced Judas. Who knows what that man could have accomplished for God? And to be that man on Judgment Day that stands before God, that everyone read about in the Bible and everyone that's watching will know exactly who that man is. They'll know that was the rich young ruler. That was the man that rejected an opportunity to have a closer walk with Christ. What is it going to be like for him on that day? On Judgment Day when he stands before God and he has to answer for that day that he rejected having a closer relationship with God. But I also can imagine what it's going to be like for us. Those that have desired to have a closer walk with him. Those that long to know Him. Men of God that have known Him for years and that have gone on to be missionaries, gone on to do great things for God. What it's going to be like for men like that on that day. When God looks at them and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we look and possibly look around and our works have been tried by fire. And we see that it wasn't wood, hay, or stubble, but it was gold and precious jewels. And everything that it was supposed to be. And God rewards us for everything that we did. But it all comes down to the fact that we had a close walk with Him. Let's all stand together. Church, I realize that there are lots of things in Christianity that we have to make sure that we do. You know, we have to make sure that we're being a witness for Christ. We have to make sure that we do read our Bibles every day. And we do pray every day. And we make sure that we're not sinning and we're living a holy life before Him. But the most important part of being a Christian isn't the gifts of the Spirit, though they're important, I realize that. It's not witnessing to people. Because if you don't have a relationship with Him, none of that stuff is even going to matter. All that other stuff isn't even going to matter when you stand before Him in judgment. So tonight, I want to encourage you. Let's make sure that our focus is exactly where it needs to be. And it's on having a deeper walk with Him. Let's come and find a place to pray.